Good morning and Happy New Year. The Old Testament reading is from the prophet Isaiah in the 63rd chapter, verses 7 to 14. I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness to the house of Israel that he has granted them according to his compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore he turned to be their enemy and himself fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put in the midst of them his Holy Spirit, who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make for himself an everlasting name? Who led them through the depths? Like a horse in the desert, they did not stumble. Like livestock that go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So you led your people to make for yourself a glorious name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament reading is in Galatians, the 4th chapter, verses 4 to 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
Please rise. The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when they heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, here in Matthew chapter 2, we just read about one of the most brutal and disgusting events in biblical history. Small children were targeted and slaughtered It's an indication of the perversity and violence of King Herod the Great, the Roman-appointed king of Judea, who was also reputed to have murdered 3 of his own sons. When you read about incidents like this, whether they be incidents from ancient history, long ago and far away, or incidents in the news that happened yesterday, or a month ago, or a couple years ago, regardless of when they happened, you can't help but ask, why does God allow such senseless tragedy? Why doesn't God shield and protect his people, including us, from calamity? We'll get back to that. But first, I want to take a look at this episode. The first sentence that we just read in Matthew says, "Now when they departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream." So who is it who departed? It was the 3 wise men who departed, sometimes referred to as the Magi or the 3 kings. There's debate on exactly who these guys were, but we know that they were interested in the stars. They might well have been astronomers who noticed a very unusual star, low and bright in the sky to the west of them, which means they came from the east of Judea, which could mean Babylonia or Persia, but we're not sure. The most interesting thing about them is that they were not Jewish. They were like most of us. They were not part of the tradition that was looking and waiting for the Messiah. But they followed this star and found this child, Jesus, and identified him as the King of the Jews. And that alarmed Herod, because Herod was the King of the Jews. He was a puppet king, serving at the pleasure of the Roman occupiers of Israel, but still a king, a position that he was zealous to protect. And so news of a newborn king, a potential rival, upset him. So when Herod caught wind of these 3 wise men from the east who were in search of a baby born in Bethlehem and destined to be some sort of a king, Herod decided to interview them. And his conversation with these guys alarmed him even further. In fact, Herod made them promise that if they actually found this child, they would immediately let Herod know of the child's whereabouts. Well, the wise men from the east did find the child they were looking for. But after being warned in a dream, instead of reporting back to King Herod, they hightailed it home without reporting back. And that's where today's gospel picks up. The wise men departed, and Joseph was warned in a dream to escape to Egypt with Mary and baby Jesus. And here's why. King Herod, enraged that the wise men never got back to him, and being the amoral narcissist that he was, he decided to have every male child in Bethlehem under the age of 2 years old slaughtered like an animal in a butcher shop. Bethlehem itself was a small town. Some historians estimate that there may have been 20 male children that Herod arranged to be killed. That's about the same number of children who died in the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting, or more recently died in Uvalde, Texas. Why does God allow such senseless tragedies to happen? Some of you have lost children. Or maybe as children you've lost siblings to tragedy or accidents or illness. Friends, spouses, parents, and children sometimes die before we think they should. There are natural disasters. There are atrocities like the Holocaust of World War II. Why does God allow it? Some would even say that there are disasters that God has orchestrated for his purposes. I've mentioned this a number of times in our Bible study class. I remember in the 1980s when Jerry Falwell announced that the AIDS crisis that was raging at the time was God's condemnation on the homosexual community. Is that true? Well, I suppose you could look at it that way, but if that's true, then I guess it also has to be true that heart disease is God's condemnation of fat people. When I was in high school, my grandfather had a heart attack, and he was hospitalized for a week. He was a little overweight, and he also smoked. When we brought him home from the hospital, the first thing he did was grab his pouch of loose chopped tobacco, rolled a cigarette, which he could do with one hand, and then he went outside and he smoked it. Was he condemned by God because he smoked? I don't think so. He actually died years later of Lou Gehrig's disease. This question of whether or not God punishes people by subjecting them to tragedy was taken up by Jesus in Luke 13. Jesus referred to a disaster in the town of Siloam. Apparently a tower had collapsed, killing 18 people. Jesus made it clear that these people were not killed because they were sinful. But he did use the incident to make the point that all of us are sinful and all of us will die at some point. So now is the time to repent, to recognize our own sinfulness and throw ourselves on God's immense forgiveness and mercy that is given to us because of what Christ has done for us, died for us. And despite the tragedies and death and sadness that afflicts us in this life, Isaiah reminds us that God has become our Savior by coming to us in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And He has lavished us with compassion according to the abundance of His steadfast love. So why does it seem that we are unshielded sometimes from calamity and sadness and the pain of this world? Because we are finite, limited beings living in a world scathed with sinfulness. There is tragedy and pain and sadness all around us. And we have trouble seeing beyond the here and now. But the promise given to us is that there is a heavenly world beyond us that far, far surpasses what we've experienced here. Still, it's so hard for us to comprehend it, so hard for us that we grip and squeeze and cling with all our might to this world, despite its sadness and disappointment and unfairness and tragedy. Tragedy like the slaughter of the innocents we read about in Matthew chapter 2. Or tragedy that you have experienced. But there is a better world awaiting. And for you who acknowledge your sinfulness and failure, and instead put your hope in the perfect righteousness of Christ, despite your sinfulness, despite your failure, Christ will wrap you up in his own white robes of perfection and welcome you home someday. Because you are forgiven and loved by God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we live in a world where tragedy and atrocity and pain and sadness happen. And we're probably more aware of that at Christmas time, it seems, than any other time of the year. Being reminded of the way things used to be and what we have lost often. Lord, help us to recognize that this sinful world is still in your hands and that ultimately there will be greater joy than we could possibly imagine. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.